everybody, and welcome to Unapologetic Live. Happy Friday. Today we have a lot to talk about. It actually might not be such a happy day for some of you because the Queen of England has passed, and we'll be talking about that. We'll also be talking about the EU's decision to tell everybody to flatten the curve when it comes to electricity and energy, and Jennifer Lawrence having nightmares about Tucker Carlson. What a scary guy. Before I introduce our guests for today's show, I do want to encourage you guys, we do have an unapologetic email list that you can now sign up for. You'll get direct updates from me, an exclusive once a month episode from me that you'll get to see there, updates on merch, and just personal emails from me about Unapologetic Live, the work that we're doing here at PragerU, and other videos that PragerU is putting out. If you'd like to sign up, go to the description down below, click the link, put in your little email, and we'll get that over to you. Now for our guests today. These are two funny guys that I've met in doing interviews at Rebel News. Number one, coming at you, actually from the UK right now, Lewis Brackpool. Hi, Lewis.
Hello, Marla. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're glad to have you. And Andrew, I forget your last name already, Andrew.
Wow. Go ahead, we'll wait.
Chapados?
Yes.
Is that
that's
it?
That's right.
Oh my gosh. Oh, can I get some credit for that? Of Andrew Says on Rebel News. Thank you for coming on, Andrew.
No problem. I'm looking forward to those personalized emails. I'm signing up as we speak.
Despite the fact that I did not know your last name until about 10 minutes ago, we are actually friends.
That's what we tell people, but in real life, who knows?
So Andrew's coming at us from Canada, so he's our local maple syrup guy, and then we got Lewis, who's our monarchy, crumpets, tea, all things monarchy guy.
There you go.
Now, Lewis, where are you right now, actually?
I'm currently in the middle of Trafalgar Square. I've just finished reporting over at Buckingham Palace just to do some street interviews, ask people a few questions about the Queen and Charles III, which is crowned king now, obviously after the death of Queen Elizabeth II yesterday, and just doing some reporting. You know how it is, just the classic rebel style. And
right.
Yeah. So I decided to get this nice backdrop just personally for yourself and your show today. So thought that would be appropriate.
No, it's very appropriate. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I do want to sort of unpack this specifically with you, and then we'll get to you, Andrew. I know the Queen is very near and dear to your heart, but Queen Elizabeth II has passed. I've seen a lot of people talking about this on the internet and social media, of course, and there seems to be a lot of different views on her passing in particular. From the political left in our country, nothing great. A lot of accusing her of being a colonizer, of housing pedophiles within the Buckingham Palace, and just a lot of negativity towards the Queen. Is that what you're witnessing right now in London at all, or is it a pretty somber moment?
It's a pretty somber moment. Of course, I don't think you're going to get many people outside of Buckingham Palace going around preaching that kind of stuff. Sure. Everyone is very, it's a very somber tone around Buckingham Palace and, of course, London in general. I've seen the flags draped halfway from all the embassies across London. That, of course, shows a symbol that someone has just passed away, this being Queen Elizabeth II. Second, and I've seen the chatter online, and, you know, I have my own views as well in regards to this, but my own personal feeling is that regardless if you're a Republican or a monarchist, I think there is a time and a place to have that debate, and I think it should be postponed to another date to have these sort of conversations, in my view.
I agree. I think we should just sort of let things rest for a moment and sort of deal with the situation and give our respect to the Queen before we start getting into conversations about the monarchy itself, about colonialism, about possible pedophilia, whatever you want to get into. Andrew, what's the pulse like in Canada right now?
Well, I'd say it's different from both the United States and the UK, whereas Canada was technically and still is under the reign of the monarchy in the United Kingdom. I think you get a mix of old people and young people. A lot of older people here grew up with her as sort of a celebrity who was seen in a very positive light, much like a lot of celebrities from that era. But to go online and be like, I'm glad this person's passed away, I don't think you're winning any fans like that. I don't think anybody goes out looking for somebody who's, you know, I'm hoping that this person's going to disparage this this person who just died. I don't see anybody really championing that here in the media, at least. I could be wrong. I don't follow the hardest of core of leftist circles. But in my opinion, it's an important figurehead that's passed away. There's some criticisms that are okay. But again, I agree with Lewis in the sense that, like, come on, guys, leave it for a week or a couple weeks. I know the media is going to be all over this for another week. At least they always are when anything royal happens. Leave your criticisms for another time. But then I also think, when did people ever talk about these things before? If you're going to wait for a person to die to actually talk about these issues, then that's probably likely that they weren't that important to you in the first place. You're just capitalizing it. So if you've got like Vice Media or something like that, or, you know, blue haired person this and green haired person that, I'd wager that this is just their thing of the day and they'll move on. Probably by now already, they won't care anymore.
Man, I completely agree. It's so weird that, like, how much the news or the cycle of the day just controls everybody's brains. You know, somebody dies and then you decide that person is good or bad, and then that's the tweet that you put out. And the next week something else happens and you respond that way. What do you think is creating this sort of culture, Lewis?
Oh, it's a great question. Internet culture is one. Cotton wool society is another, because we're so comfortable to sit behind a screen and say whatever we like with no backlash. And, you know, I think we need to bring the art of conversation back and civil debate instead of just screeching everything through Twitter. This is the thing about Twitter. You can go on these sorts of social media sites, and if you're worked up or you're emotional about a particular subject, you'll, of course, go on there, and 9 times out of 10, you tweet whatever comes to mind without caging that inner animal almost, or that inner emotion, and it can lead you astray into either a dangerous route, or if you go too far, it can just boot you off the platforms anyway. And there's a massive conversation around that with censorship and the ability to express yourself freely. But I do agree in a sense that it's all about bringing value of the conversation and debate around everyone. So with that comes a time and a place and a level of decency.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think we are losing sight of when the right time is for certain conversations and respect that we should give to people. And, you know, this conversation around censorship is a really important one. I'm reading some of these tweets that are happening and people are putting out surrounding Queen Elizabeth II. Here's one actually from a Carnegie Mellon University critical race theorist working on the campus.
You gotta have those.
She tweeted out, you gotta love him. You gotta love him. She said, I heard the chief monarch of a thieving, raping, genocidal empire is finally dying. May her pain be excruciating. And that was not taken off of the platform due to censorship or anything like that. Of course, she got a lot of backlash, and that's what brought her to bring it down. And she has since been backing up these statements. But to me, when I see stuff like this, it's allowed to thrive on these platforms. And then we put out a tweet saying, I don't know, men are men and women are women. That gets taken down immediately. It shows such a clear lack of consistency with big tech. Andrew, is there anything that you think should be done about this?
Done about people talking about this stuff or saying this stuff?
The censorship that big tech is imposing.
Well, I would be remiss to say, you know, build your own Twitter, but that's already happened, I guess, with Getter and Parler.
Right.
But I think what people have to start doing is realizing that, you know, there is just such a thing as people being losers in this world. And it's taken a few years for me to get okay with saying this on shows and everything. But at some point when somebody's going out and saying that stuff and there's no real point to what they're saying, they're just trying to adhere to what they think is the cool guy thing to say for the day or the edgy thing to say. Well, then maybe you're going to have to come back and tell you that you're not cool, you're not special, you're not even actually that smart. That's what I would wager somebody might say to that person who said that. I'm not saying that. Somebody might say that to a person who says that. So is there anything we can do to that? I would be for no censorship at all. Of course, I'm against people spouting crimes all over the place online. I would just go by the rule of the law in whichever country the platform is operated out of, and then I'd go from there. I think some other platforms have done a better job or a worse job from there. I think YouTube is worse than Twitter. I think Facebook is worse than Twitter. But when it comes to giving these people attention, yes, it's okay to point out stuff and say, hey, this is egregious, but I don't even think you can change these people's mind. A lot of these people, and I would wager to say that this person who's saying that, they don't like people who have other opinions. They don't want anybody to actually change their mind. They want to put you away into a corner or have you arrested for hate speech, even though they participated in regularly. And I don't think that it's worth it to, you know, engage in something that's so erroneously unintelligent and really lacks any sort of nuance at all.
Andrew, what a nice and professional take I just got from you on that. That was beautiful.
Are you suggesting I'm not?
He's
nice
not like that in private.
I just blacked out.
He's not like that in private.
I blacked out.
He's not like that in private. Andrew no. is certified bully and certified unprofessional.
Yes. Correct.
I like Lewis is backing me up on that. Yeah. Lewis is wonderful and great.
An Englishman would say that.
There you go.
Also, the other side is I'm French, so I can't possibly support anything Lewis says. So
there's built-in hate there.
Thousands of years.
So you did mention people who want to arrest others for speech. Let's talk about the possibility of getting arrested for using too much electricity. This is something that I think going to start having conversations about. There's a massive large-scale energy crisis that is happening right now across the European Union, here in the United States, specifically in Los Angeles, where I'm living right now. First off, Andrew, are you dealing with an energy crisis? Is Canada having, murmurs about this stuff?
No, actually. Justin Trudeau does want to enforce the 30% reduction in nitrogen, as they've done in the Netherlands, which Lewis ferociously, I'll use the word, covered a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Vehemently, ferociously, attractively, you might even say. But no.
Always attractively.
So they want to do that in Canada, but we're not facing any blackout warnings. The last time the power was out was from a huge storm that knocked out a bunch of trees and transistors and whatnot. But we're not in California's position where they basically just say, oh, you got to turn the stuff off whenever we say. We have several, I'm going to say many, hydroelectric companies here, and they compete with each other. And I think every time when the power goes out, they get flooded with so many complaints from the boomers that they wouldn't dare tell people to turn off their air conditioning. Not me, Amala. I'm not turning that off for anybody. But to answer your question, no.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is when my AC gets canceled, I'm headed up to Canada and we'll chill with you guys.
We won't accept you, but go ahead.
Now, Lewis, before I get your take on this, I want to play this video that references flattening the curve when it comes to electricity and energy. Let's hear it.
This is what is expensive, because in these peak demand, the expensive gas comes into the market. So what we have to do is flatten the curve and avoid the peak demands. We will propose a mandatory target for reducing electricity use at peak hours, and we will work very closely with the member states to achieve this.
So flatten the curve sounds real familiar, and the last time I heard that phrase, it didn't go well. Lewis, what is your thought on this?
Well, it's funny how the narrative changes so quickly and then just reused almost.
Right.
Yeah, listen, I've read lots of stories, obviously, about what's going on in Europe. The UK is not in a great situation. Despite the current measures that our new Prime Minister Liz Truss wants to impose. I even read that in Switzerland, if you put your heating over 19 degrees, you could be arrested.
Unbelievable.
Which is absolutely insane. So I don't know if that's still going ahead or they're still continuing with that madness. But what can I expect from the country that has Davos and the World Economic Forum in?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's just, it's insane. But I think, to be honest, Europe is going down a dark route and has been for quite a long time. But everything's been accelerating rapidly recently and in the UK as well, with various different things, not just in energy, but lots and lots of different things. But when it comes to this subject, I want to be clear. I believe it's not a cost of living crisis. This is a cost of lockdown crisis. This is a cost of eco-fanaticism. And whatever you think on what's going on in Ukraine, between Ukraine and Russia, the sanctions that's being placed on Russia are hurting ordinary people over oligarchs, okay? And the ordinary people, especially in the UK and other places, are taking a massive hit. And the narrative is almost now freeze to death for Ukraine, or, you know, it's just, I can't even put into words how ridiculous it's become. And I'll be honest, I'm a little bit worried. I mean, even though Liz Truss has said we're going to freeze energy bills up to £2,500 per year for 18 months is her goal, but we're still having to pay that back in the long run, right? And she wants to slash taxes, and the far left in this country are saying that slashing taxes is hard right, and all of this nonsense, which I've never even heard before in my life, really, but it is what it is. So the real question is, where do we draw the line? And what is it that ordinary people can do now to sort of combat this and actually have a good winter? Because it looks quite bleak from my perspective. And I'm sorry for all the black pills, but no. It just is what it is. At the minute.
It's true. I've been seeing a lot of stories coming out, particularly from the UK, from small businesses, coffee shops and the yeah. like, saying, you know, my electricity bill is through the roof. Here's a photo yeah. of one here. £9,836. Insane. Another one here that says, my mom owns a small cafe in Leicester. She says her electricity bill has jumped from about $12,000 a year to about $64,000 a year. To me, this seems yeah. like an issue where it's far above COVID. Like with COVID-19, at least there was something compassionate that we could get behind, that you could feel right then and there. People were getting sick. People were getting tested in hospitals, and we were finding out, yes, they are positive. Maybe this is something we should be locking down for. Maybe this is something that warrants all of this cultural change, all of these changes in our communities. But with this, to be suffering at the hands of your own government for what it seems like just a mistake on their part, I feel like this is where people are going to really start getting up in arms. Andrew, do you think this is an issue that we can get past?
I don't know how this happened, Amala. We shut off our gas from Russia, and all of a sudden our energy prices go up. The California government changes their electrical grid, and all of a sudden we can't provide power. How did this happen? You're right. It's a direct result of public policy, and in many places like Canada, some of these European countries, it wasn't even, you know, let's pass this, let's debate it, let's see what the public has to think about it. It's just, oh, Russia's evil, we're going to cut off their gases. Now, Canada tried to use that excuse, even though we don't take any oil or gas from Russia since 2019, I believe. But that didn't stop them from wanting to increase the prices. Now, our gas prices are right back down now, around where they were before this whole thing started at the beginning of February or March or whenever it was, probably because Justin Trudeau wants to call an election soon. But that doesn't mean that he's not implementing things. Like I mentioned, the fertilizer mandate, and prices of everything are still going up. Our inflation is still very high, not quite as high as the United States, not nearly as high as Turkey, for example. But these are now politicians that we're dealing with, where they don't even seek the public approval. They don't think that we have to get permission from the people. It's the people want climate change solutions, and the people want green energy solutions. So that's just what we're going to do. That's what we're going to go ahead and do. And you have the case of Gavin Newsom, and I hate to keep picking on California where you're from, but they announced that mandate against gas-powered vehicles, and then a week later it's, oh sorry, turn off all your you can't charge your electric car. So it's funny to me, if it weren't sad, that you can get all these politicians doing these things without any sort of approval seeking from their populace. But then again, it's almost as if a lot of them get together in some sort of foreign country and decide policies that they're going to do and implement across the world. I wonder if there's a name for that, a forum, if you will, but I'm yeah. not sure.
And I just want to know as well, when does the better happen in Build Back Better? That's right. That's the question or the answer that I want to find out, because this mantra has been going on for way too long.
Exactly. They're just going to sit there and tell you, well, we promise things are better. You know, our planet is going to live longer. Our planet is healed because of the things that you're doing. I know you're living in a pod with all of your government-given amenities, but things are better, I promise you. And I guess I can't see anybody falling for this. You know, like Andrew, how you just said, they're telling us that we need to have electric cars, but also we can't charge those electric cars. Her using the phrase flatten the curve as if it's going to be some sort of Pavlovian response. Oh, flatten the curve. That means we must do whatever the government says. Are people falling for this, do you think? Or is this going to be a movement that just completely boosts our side in you know, maybe a conservative sense, but not even necessarily, just in questioning the government and having skepticism towards them?
I think that it does work on some people. Some people who are glued to their phone and state broadcasters, in the case of our countries, Lewis and mines, a lot of people do go for it. I mean, probably less where you guys are, but there's still half of people in Toronto wearing masks outside. Maybe not half. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm being too, you know, dark light on myself there, but I still see people riding their bikes with masks and walking their children with masks. So the conditioning is very high in Canada compared to other countries. We had a 90% you know, injection rate. I don't know a word we're allowed to use anymore before we get booted off. And Justin Trudeau said just the other day he's hoping for an 85 to 90% booster rate so that we don't have to implement more restrictions coming this winter. But it's always on the table. You guys know it's always on the table. Will this bring more people onto this side? When I look at videos of people being interviewed about Joe Biden and about the direction of politics right now, it's not so much going to the conservative side, maybe not yet, but I see a lot of maybe Joe Biden wasn't the solution, and maybe he's not the guy that he said he was going to be, and maybe it's not worse to have, you know, Orange Man in the office because he's mean. Mm-hmm. It's worse to have guy who can't even, you know, think in the office and doesn't know where he is, along with Kamala and the Crypt Keeper, as I call her, Nancy Pelosi. I don't know, Lewis, do you think people are going to be brought over? What's it like in England? Like, I can't speak for you there.
People are saying that it's the government's fault because we've had a 12-year Tory rule, and people are absolutely sick of it. But the problem, what people are caught up with, is the politics in the UK is vastly different from America or Canada, in a sense that our opposition to the Tory party, or the fake Conservative Party in the UK, is Labour, who are supposed to be this, I don't know, working class party, but they champion for lockdowns. They champion the same things that the Tory party implemented. But now they're turning around and saying, oh, the government must put a windfall tax in. The government must do this and do that. No, they were championing the same things as the Tory party was doing at the height of the pandemic. So how can you sit there and say that we have a true opposition? You know, I hate to be crass, but it's two cheeks of the same arse, if I'm totally honest, between the two parties. So when you realize it's almost like an illusion that there's some sort of opposition, or there's someone that's just going to magically appear into Parliament and get all these problems fixed, is just you're living in a fantasy world, really. A lot of people are very overlapped with their views here in the UK. So that's something quite different to America, where, you know, if you're not a Republican, you're basically either an independent or a communist, or if you're a Democrat, you're a far right fascist. You know, over here, there's a little bit of overlap. So I do see a sense of coming together to say, actually, even though I voted for the Conservative Party in 2019, I voted for it. I expect them to deliver because I helped push them into the office. So I bear the almost like a responsibility to say, no, this is wrong. This is not what I voted for. And I'm going to speak out about it. With Europe, you have countries such as like the Czech Republic, for example, who hosted a demonstration recently between someone from the Communist Party, apparently, allegedly, and someone from the far right, apparently, allegedly, and then made a demonstration for all. And over 70,000 people turned up to say, let's lift the sanctions. Let's put our citizens first and get the country back on track. And it's almost like a populist movement is resonating throughout Europe. So who knows what's going to happen in the coming future?
Yeah, I would say we're having sort of similar conversations over here in the United States. And although our parties are not very much overlapping, we're finding that both of them are getting nothing done. So what yeah. seems to be the issue with American politics is how entangled our government system is with corporations and with corporate interests. And that's why we're seeing a yeah. big populist movement grow over here and people from both sides of the aisle or independents sitting in the middle going, we all need to get together and get behind this and fight the corporatism and fight the crony capitalism that's happening right now in our system. Is there anything like that happening in Canada?
Oh, God, no. Okay, we have we have the People's Party, which is a federal party that has grown the last couple of elections, I think a few hundred thousand votes. But you need around 33% or 34% of the vote in Canada to win. So we've got, as it stands, three major parties. The Liberals, Justin Trudeau's party, the Conservatives, who are much like the Brits, you know, just a few steps off of the Liberals. And then we have the NDP, the New Democratic Party, which I would liken more to like if AOC and Bernie Sanders had a party and everything was focused on identity politics. So they're pretty far off. They haven't won any seats, this People's Party, the Purple Party here. So that's how far off they are. So it's basically a battle between Justin Trudeau and the Conservatives, who have come some steps since the pandemic. However, they didn't start talking about like people's freedoms or the need to lift restrictions until everything was actually over, until those truckers wouldn't leave Ottawa. That's when they started to say, hey, we're going to change our leader. And then we're going to start apparently caring about people's rights, even though 99% of them were silent for 2 years. So it's not a group of people you can trust, but most people see it as a better alternative to Justin Trudeau. At least they won't, you know, put our financial sector into the ground, which is what Trudeau has done, and print billions of dollars and, you know, send them over to the good guys in Ukraine. But is there a huge populism building? No, I would say not. Canadians are so passive. It makes me want to, you know, move down there, kick them all out of her place and, you know, take her take her place from her.
Well, guess what, Andrew? There will be no electricity. So that'll be a fun time for you. Now that we've given everybody their black pill for all of our separate countries, let's move on to something that might be a little lighter, a little funner, just to close out the show. For those of you who don't know, Jennifer Lawrence apparently has nightmares about a one Tucker Carlson of Fox News. Have we been there? Have either of you had nightmares about Tucker Carlson?
I have nightmares about
all the time.
Nightmares
about, yeah, he has nightmares about me.
All the time. Andrew is like, I fantasies about Tucker Carlson.
Wow. I was going to say I have nightmares about the tautness of Lewis' pants because he's English, so he's probably wearing a few sizes too small. But now I'll transition into an Amala insult, but I don't
care. Yes, please, please.
I have nightmares of Amala calling me and changing times, changing dates, asking for notes. For those of you who are big Amala fans, and I know you are, that don't know the behind the scenes, Amala demands notes. She demands preparation.
I
just don't do that. I'm, you know, individuals like me who are just quick on their feet and very quippy and just know the facts. We don't need notes.
Andrew's too witty for taking notes in preparation.
I'm going to be a gentleman and say, I'm not going to say anything about both of you. I have my own nightmares. Thank you very much.
Oh my gosh,
so,
Lewis. How sweet of you.
Facebook knocking on your door. Oh no, it's the bobbies. I said some hate speech. All right, bro.
It's true.
Yeah, that's why Lewis can't bully us. We will have him arrested.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm so polite that I don't want to knock at the door, basically.
Are we going to get to see what she said? Did she tweet it out or something?
Yeah, so this is actually in an interview she did for Vogue.com. I'll read some of it for you. She's doing this interview, and apparently she states she is not in the best mood. One reason being that Roe versus Wade is overturned by the Supreme Court, and she's having so much trouble, right? Okay, so yeah, this is really, really pounding on her heart and making her very upset. She ends up getting into arguments with her family about Roe versus Wade, which we'll talk about. But she says, Particularly since having a baby, she has been trying to heal. She even discussed with her therapist the recurring nightmares she has about Tucker Carlson. Quote, I just worked so hard in the last 5 years to forgive my dad and my family and try to understand. It's different. The information they're getting is different. Their life is different. End quote. She then says, quote, I've tried to get over it and I really can't. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm just unleashing. But I can't fuck with people who aren't political anymore. You live in the United States of America. You have to be political. It's too dire. Politics are killing people. A lot to unpack there. Lewis, what's your thoughts?
Didn't she hang out with Harvey Weinstein quite a lot?
Yes, she did. We have some pictures actually for the audience. Let's check that out there.
Well, where's her nightmares about that?
Don't know. They look funny, very though. Friendly. Very friendly in these photos, but not a nightmare about Harvey Weinstein. It's apparently Tucker.
Hey, Jennifer, get over here. I need a photo.
Interesting.
Oh, gosh.
That's terrible. See, now the Bobbies are coming around.
I don't even know what he sounds like. It's weird, though. Her poor therapist or psychiatrist, whichever it was, this girl's so arrogant that even when she's talking about this, she's like, you know, I had to forgive my family. They're so stupid and dumb. I had to forgive them for their beliefs. They're just getting different information than me. It's like she can't even be like, you know, we just disagree and it's hard for us to have arguments and come to an agreement at the end. It's no, I feel sorry for them because they're dumb. They just don't know any better.
Dude, you could not pay me enough to sit and listen to that. You could not pay me enough to sit and listen to an actress with millions and millions of dollars in net worth complain about Tucker Carlson. I just couldn't.
Do you know what? I just think it's so counterintuitive to turn around and say, politics is killing people. You have to be into politics. It's so divisive. But I have nightmares about a political
right.
figure. It's like... There's no logic there. If you want to heal the divide or whatever, like how many times have we heard that? You don't make a song and dance about something that, let's be honest, never happened. It's just to score points. So it's very counterintuitive. And well, this is just what happens when you're part of this Hollywood bubble almost, because I can imagine it's very Democrat. I can imagine it without even looking at the people involved in Hollywood. So, you know, I don't know. It's just counterintuitive, silly, and I love Tucker Carlson.
You don't believe her, Lewis? You don't believe those stories where I'm sure she's probably going to say one. My 3-year-old asked me this morning, Mommy, why is Tucker Carlson a neo-fascist? And I said, little boy, that's why we're a Hannity family. No, I don't know. And I'm going to say it. Yeah. I'm going to say it. Hunger Games sucks. It's one of the worst movies.
Whoa. Andrew, we can't be friends anymore. Hunger Games is great.
Oh my God. Don't you guys know that the Hunger Games is so good? Like, no, it's not Amal. That's my Amal impression,
by the
way.
Is that your impression?
Yeah. Oh my God, you guys. Amala Ekpenobi for PragerU. Hunger Games all the way, baby.
You're not getting invited on next. Mate,
yeah, it's just going to be me and Lewis from now on, actually.
You knew who I was, always.
I did know who you were. I really did. And I still invited him on. And now my audience has to deal with you. So
yeah,
we'll reconcile that. Lewis, do you like the Hunger Games? Be the tiebreaker here and please be on my side. Please.
This is a tiebreaker. I haven't seen it.
Oh,
I'm very sorry.
Everything,
so I can't give it an opinion.
You're both fired.
Everything.
This is the most. That was the most centrist, like centrist answer ever, and I don't even believe that exists. Sorry, that's controversial. Sorry, I haven't seen Hunger Games, so I can't really comment.
Fair enough. Okay, I'll take it. You're not fired. Andrew's still fired, but you're not fired. Last question here for you guys. On the note of having families with dissident opinions, are your family members, you know, on the same side of the aisle as you? Are they agreeing with you on most of this stuff? And if not, how much are you paying your therapist? We'll start with you, Andrew.
Oh, wow. How did I know that? My father, it's all over the place, as you can expect for people who are related to me. My father believes what the TV tells him, but he also thinks that they're trying to kill him. My mother has once said that she thinks Trump's a white supremacist. One of my brothers is very, very Catholic, and I'd say I agree with him on a lot. My oldest brother is, he doesn't believe in any sort of government. He thinks they're all crazy people, and my sister just doesn't care.
Fair enough. Okay, good. You, Lewis?
Well, trying to explain to my family and parents about the World Economic Forum is pretty difficult.
That's brutal for anybody. It's brutal for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot to unpack. I think my mother, bless her heart, she's very, she doesn't like to get involved with that sort of thing because she understands that people have different opinions. She's very, very supportive of what I do, even though she might not agree with half of what I say. She doesn't actually say what she agrees with or disagrees with unless I'm talking about it. But every time I come in and I've been out reporting on a particular subject, she's always interested in listening. So I'm very grateful for that. My stepdad is a bit more hard-lined when it comes to views with some subjects. A lot we clash heads with, especially trying to explain, you know, my views on Boris Johnson is I thought awful, his reign, and has not benefited or brought value to anything in terms of conservatism or anything like that. And he disagrees. But even trying to explain the World Economic Forum or anything like that, or a lot of the stuff to do with I don't know what words I can use without getting you booted off. But
you say whatever you want. Say whatever you want.
Oh, okay. So talking about the vaccines and of course COVID and things like that, it's that I'm basically like I almost feel like I'm a bit of an outcast with that side of things.
Right.
Because I was pretty outspoken with lockdown. I never got jabbed because there are many reasons why. And having all of that and talking about the World Economic Forum, Davos, Klaus Schwab, all of that, sometimes it's just not worth me just trying to explain all the time. And my biological dad, I don't really know when it comes to that, but I think we have similar views. Mm-hmm. We both like Nigel Farage. So we can talk about that. All the COVID stuff is just, I think I'm the only one here. And my sister, she's London, so she's encased in that bubble. Sorry, Rihanna.
Sorry, sis.
What about you, Mama? What are your feelings?
What?
What are your feelings?
Okay, well, you guys, my mom is as far left as you could possibly be, so super proud of what I do for a living. That's great. I have two conservative grandparents, but not like World Economic Forum, tinfoil hattie, let's talk about the plandemic type thing, but much on my side. Watch me whenever I'm on the news. My dad, pretty conservative, and then my brother and sister, lefties, but we still love them.
And Amala, as we know, is an anarchist. At least,
absolutely. 100%. 100%. Let's burn everything down. guys, thank you so much for being on the show today and bringing your humor with you. Eventually, when we're all living in pods, hopefully our pods will be next to each other. Lewis, how can people find you and follow what you're doing?
Oh, thanks again for having me on. It's been a pleasure. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, Lewis_Brackpool. Instagram, unfortunately, shadow banned me, as you probably heard, because I talk about the World Economic Forum.
They're actually coming to arrest you right now. I can hear them. They're coming to arrest you.
That's my hate speech. That's all my hate speech from earlier. Sorry about that. There's that, Lewis_Brackpool. I'm also on Telegram and Getter under the same.
And Andrew, you don't get a plug. Wow. We'll see you next time. Wow. Just kidding. Where can people follow you?
You can go to andrewsaystv.com. All my links are there. It's also linked to my show on rebelnews.com. Of course, we've had you on. We've had Lewis on. We might not have them all back now. It depends if she invites me back. But rebelnews.com and andrewsaystv.com. You can find me. Just type in Andrew Says on Instagram and Twitter, and I'll be the guy looking like this, probably.
Awesome. Amazing. Next time we have you guys back, we'll do a full episode on the World Economic Forum with our tinfoil hats and we'll talk about it
because I feel like
it's a hard subject to break down for anybody. So that's what we'll do next.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for being on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Amala. Thanks, PragerU. Have a good day, guys.
So, guys, glad you got to meet my friends Andrew and Lewis over at Rebel News, and always enjoy to have them on. Especially cool to get a perspective from two separate countries, Canada and London. So hopefully you learned something in watching the episode today, and hopefully you like them. They're good friends of mine, so we'll have them on in the future, like I said, to talk about the World Economic Forum. If you guys like the content, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every time we go live, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and we now have an email list for unapologetic people who want to follow me and keep up to date with the different videos that we're posting. Plus, you'll get an exclusive video every single month from yours truly. Hopefully you want that. If you don't, still subscribe anyways. And we'll send you other updates on PragerU videos coming out, different projects that we're working on. You'll be the first to know when we come out with merch slash a clothing line that I have been working on, so you'll be notified with that. Plus, we're going to have our own little private Discord for you guys to talk about the show and to give me input on what topics you'd like to see me cover, what guests you'd like to have on, and all the different inner workings of Unapologetic Live and our YouTube channel. So, if you want to sign up for that email list, go to the description down below, click the link, put in your email, and you'll be signed up, and you'll get emails from me. Thank you guys so much for watching. Have a fantastic weekend, and don't forget to water your plants. Bye, guys.